Thank you for listening to Ivy Podcast, where we feature weekly leadership conversations with thought leaders and industry experts.
Thank you so much for jumping on, Chris. Welcome to the Ivy Podcast.
Hello, Robert. Your last name is very familiar.
Yes.
Have we met before?
So the elephant in the room is that Chris is my older brother who has a lot more hair than I do.
Better hair, better basement.
Yes, you are in a cave and I live in Fort Lauderdale and it's been snowing. What do you have, 24 inches of snow right now?
I got a lot of shoveling to do later. You should be happy that I'm not standing up because I have no pants on underneath this.
He's wearing sweatpants, guys. Also, I saw a very cute photo of my nephew shoveling in front of a snowman earlier, so thank you for that. Mom's over. Much appreciated.
Maybe he'll make an appearance. Baby Henry has made an appearance on some pitches I was on recently with a wiffle ball bat, and it was a floating wiffle ball bat that came up from behind me, and then I saw my wife Danielle chasing him as everyone on the call was laughing, and I turned my head just in time to catch the wiffle ball bat as it almost smashed me in the face, so... Those of you that funny enough, no, we didn't get the business, but not because of that, they all laughed. But yeah, I mean, that was the joys of working from home are awesome, and having a 22-month-old is amazing. So he definitely helps. He's been helping me shovel all the snow outside.
Yes, hopefully throwing it on you. And I would like to probably say that Henry is more useful than you were probably as a child, because I had to shovel all the snow.
He's good. He's very useful. He's a nice little chap.
There we go. Anyway,
it's good parents.
Chris, thanks for joining in. Guys, we're going to talk about esports and gaming. It's a super fascinating market, growing rapidly. Chris, you want to give your background about your background and then also the background about Revolution?
Yeah, I'm Chris Mann, Rob's more handsome, older, better looking, better hair brother. I'm the SVP of RevXP, which is the gaming and esports division of Revolution. Revolution is a full-service sports marketing agency covering everything from experiential marketing, consulting for brands looking to get the most out of their sports investments, including esports and gaming. We do a host of variety of different services. So full service, you know, data and insights, research, media placement, media buying. We run the gamut of services across the board, headquartered out of Chicago. I'm based here in New Jersey. Of course, many of us are working from home right now, given COVID. And my background, how I got here is that, you know, I've spent 15 years on the agency side. I led Campbell's Chunky Soup's NFL partnership for 10 years. You see a lot of NFL stuff behind me. This is usually a really busy time of year for me when I was on the NFL stuff, 10 Super Bowls that I had the opportunity to go to. And then, I transitioned to gaming and esports about 5-6 years ago. Led T-Mobile's entry. Spent the last 2 years on the esports team side. Most recently with a team called Dignitas that's owned by Harris Blitzer Sports and Entertainment. Harris Blitzer also owns the 76ers and New Jersey Devils. Let's go Devils! And at Dignitas, probably most. Deal that I was most proud of in my career, but also one that was big for the industry was I did Verizon's first deal in gaming and esports, where they built Dignitas a 5,500 square foot gaming and esports facility in Playa Vista, California, and went back to the agency side about 5 months ago to help brands like Chipotle navigate their esports and gaming investments. Can I take a breath now?
Yeah, that was excellent. You were speed pitching. So, guys, the reason why I find this so fascinating, if you're a staffing and recruiting leader. Is, and I'll let Chris talk about this, but there's a really low barrier to entry, maybe not for esports, but for creating content and gaining an audience and doing some advertising through it for gaming. And so Chris, maybe we'll start with what is the difference between gaming and esports and how easy is it to create content for gaming? Obviously not esports.
Yeah, I think it's a question that any brand looking to get and tap into the massive gaming audience. Gaming's $180 billion global industry, more than music and movies.
Nintendo had their best quarter ever last quarter.
Yeah, I mean, Animal Crossing came out at the perfect time during the pandemic. People are going on dates. There's late night TV talk shows on Animal Crossing. So, I mean, this thing, so there's gaming and then there's esports. And most brands are like, we need to be in esports. Well, you actually need to be in gaming, because gaming is this overarching industry in esports is the competitive play of video games. So you don't necessarily need to be in esports. It depends on your goals and objectives. Esports is part of what your strategy could be. Gaming is culture. Gaming is entertainment. Gaming, you know, gaming culture is the melding and merging of, you know, fashion, music, movies, video games, events, everything that comes together in a cultural movement. That's what gaming is. Gaming and what it means to be a gamer has changed. Long gone is the stigma of someone in their basement playing video games. Gamers are trendsetters. They're cool. Nerd culture is cool. And gamers are going to make or break brands in the future. And that's why you're seeing brands like Verizon and T-Mobile, Red Bull, Buffalo Wild Wings, and so many more brands get involved, Chipotle, in this space, and will continue to, because they're tapping into the 18 to 34 year old consumer now. They're going to grow with them, and they're going to, you know, continue to grow brand loyalty and brand affinity. And hopefully when those 18 to 34 year olds get older, have families, more disposable income, you know, they're going to be loyal to those brands that were loyal to their and supported their favorite esports teams or content creators, in the future. The same way that we're loyal to the New York Giants and their partners, you know. But even on a bigger level, there's a stat out there that says 65% of esports fans will recommend or purchase from a brand that supports League of Legends or League of Legends teams or creators versus 14% if they sponsor traditional sports like the NFL or NBA. Think about that. If you're a brand marketer, you're like, why? Like, that's incredible. And that's because there's two-way conversation that's always happening. Gaming is always on. Our mom games. She's not necessarily the hardcore gamer that we're going to market to, but she's a gamer. You know, she games on mobile. 60% of the audience games on mobile. Everybody's a gamer. And, you know, I think that, you know, that two-way conversation, whether you're watching it or playing it, there's brands integrated in it. You're watching your favorite streamer, your favorite teams. You're on Discord. You're on Twitter. You're on Twitch. You're on YouTube. There's so many ways to consume gaming content. That's why it's so influential. When it comes to purchasing and recommendation power and influence.
Got it. So, and there's also a lot of, you know, podcasts have a really strong conversion for me. Like, I'll go to the website of a brand I think is interesting if I hear it on a podcast. But what you're saying,
sure,
is 65% of consumers, usually 18 to 34, because that's the largest demographic, will go or support a brand that supports a League of Legends creator or esports team. Is that
yeah,
correct?
Yeah, it's a stat from MRI. I'm probably paraphrasing a little bit here and there on that stat, but it's an MRI stat from last year. Okay. But all you need to know is there's quite a difference between the brand loyalty and support from partnering within the League of Legends ecosystem and esports in general. I think at least it only goes down a few points when it comes to just esports and gaming versus traditional sports. So that's why brands are involved. That's why brands are investing. And that's why they will continue to invest, you know, now and into the very near future.
Got it. And was it fair when I said that the barrier to entry for gaming is pretty low?
Can be very high. When you say barrier to entry, are you talking about dollars? Are you talking about
dollars?
It can be. I mean, there's some teams out there in leagues getting, you know, $1 million plus deals. And there's some,
esports. What about, and some influencers?
And games, and, you know, there's, I mean, you know,
gamers getting that much money to do.
Yeah, well, for sure. There's content creators, streamers that are strictly gaming, you know, entertainment, not anything to do with esports, that are getting $500,000 to $1 million deals, you know.
Got it.
It's pretty impressive, you know, but I think it's not, you hear that number and then you're like, I think about having a Drew Brees or like these really big names in these Campbell's commercials and these massive social following, but it's not apples to apples. So you think of someone like Tim the Tat Man, for instance, 2 million followers on Twitter, 30,000 people tune in every day to watch him stream 3 to 4 hours a day.
Yeah.
That's why he's more influential than, say, like a Drew Brees. That's why he's getting paid, you know, these six-figure, potentially seven-figure deals out there. It's because the way that he engaged with the audience is so much different and so much more valuable for brands than a traditional sports athlete at this point. And that's why these guys are going to continue, and women are going to continue to grow who are in the space.
So I think, and kind of like, correct me if I'm wrong, but it's almost like, and I can't do it, but, well, you know, listening to the Joe Rogan podcast for 3 hours every day, it's almost like, but doing that, but live, right? If a streamer's,
yeah, there. I mean, listen, it's the same. You know, Rogan recently had our boy Jordan Burroughs
content. Yeah,
yeah, it's long. It could be long form or short form. Here's the great thing about, you know, a Twitch stream, a YouTube stream, That could be a 3-4 hour stream. Some streamers go for 16 hours, 24 hours. They're, you know, they do marathon streams. They play with their community. You know, they're engaging with their community. They're playing, watching chat and engaging with their chat, right? They're part of an experience. When you watch TV, you're not part of that experience. That's why you see the NFL now on Twitch. You know, someone like Tim the Tatman streams NFL games on Thursday night through the Amazon relationship, and he's talking to his chat. It's like they're there watching, especially now during COVID where you really can't go out and have that experience of community and watch games with friends and family like you're used to. It's been really valuable. But yeah, I mean, like there's a massive opportunity here. And, you know, brands are going to continue to engage, you know, and learn how to engage. And I think that's where my job comes in, right? Like my job is to help brands navigate gaming and esports, extract as much value from these creators, these teams, these leagues as possible, align their objectives with a strategy and help them get the most out of it. And, you know, that's where an agency like Revolution or RevXP come in as well.
Got it. So, and I think you every so often we're having conversations, you're telling me like, hey, you know, this brand is interested in coming in, but they have no idea, or their strategy is off. They're spending too much money. Maybe they're not spending the money in the right spot.
Happens a lot of times.
I feel like that's been happening since you've been in the space, and we kind of just talk, when we see each other. So I don't think it's unique to esports, but it's definitely the new frontier, right? So navigating.
Yeah, everyone says it's the Wild West. I think that's, that term maybe in like 2013, 14, 15, whatever. Like everyone's like, it's the Wild West. You have to be authentic. First off, you have to be authentic in anything you do. Doesn't matter if it's gaming. Doesn't matter if it's esports. Doesn't matter if it's an NFL partnership. You have to be authentic. So that's like a buzzword, I think, that people who were in the industry early used to kind of scare new people that were coming in. And it's, it's different now. And I think that, brands certain brands are more savvy when it comes to investments with partnerships because they're used to investing in, the Major League Baseball space or, other like NFL, right? Or entertainment, music. So, but you can't like necessarily value things the same way because of the things I mentioned earlier. So, there is opportunities and those learnings definitely do apply. Markets definitely do apply. And the opportunity versus the scale is definitely something you need to consider. But I think, understanding all the different touch points and levers to pull on a deal in this space, I've seen it countless times where a brand who's never done a deal in the space comes in, does the deal far more probably than they should have without the necessary assets that they should have asked for because they didn't know. And that's where, that's why there's agencies like Revolution out there and people like myself that can help these brands, come in an impactful way and feel really good about your partnership, your investment, and work really hard for you so that you're successful in entering the space like this. Same thing as we did with the NFL.
Yeah, I mean, what it sounds like, and I'm still fascinated by the engagement piece, right? Like, I really think it's powerful that it's easier for you to create a community around a streamer because they're going to engage with the chat with you.
Yeah.
And then, that's something I learned watching webinars. And like, if I'm a panelist on a webinar, I'm actually trying to engage in the chat live with the people in the audience. I just did that last week for the World Staffing Summit. I was the panelist basically in the chat talking to everyone while I was trying to listen, but also stay engaged. So I could see that. It's kind of reminded me of that. And then
a little different when you're playing Call of Duty.
Yeah, right.
Or Fall Guys or Among Us, and then engaging with your chat.
Are they using like a voice to text doing that?
Well, they, usually like I have a screen here. That's why I have this weird glow on my face. And then I have a screen here that I'm talking to you on. So if I'm streaming or if I'm chatting, like I have, dual screen. So I'll, I play here, and I look here and many of them, and some of them have 4 or 5 screens, right? They have, different chats here so they could read it. And they understand what's going on.
Talk about their sponsors too.
Like, yeah, they have, they have, maybe they have their, if they're successful enough, they have partnership, script and talking points, that are fed into them. Maybe if they're really successful, like someone like a Dr. Disrespect has a whole studio for his streaming, like a whole, whole real interesting, very highly produced setup with producers on site. So it's not out of the norm.
Got it. So that's super, again, you guys are hearing like the level of production can increase by the amount of followers that you have or the amount of concurrent streamers.
More eyeballs, more money, higher production, better value for, or maybe not better value. It doesn't have to, just because it's high production doesn't mean the value is more or less.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. That's why I meant low barrier to entry, right? Because like, if a company wanted to start gaming, right, they could, get some assets set up, some images set up, put them on Twitch or YouTube, have their background of their stream set up, and then just jump on and start playing a game.
A brand? Oh, no, I would not recommend that. I would not if.
Okay. Well, I'm just saying, like, that could be. If it's a small
brand. If you're
brand,
a brand, just don't think you could turn on a Twitch. Yeah, don't. If you're a brand out there, don't think you could just turn on a Twitch channel and people are going to tune in. You
well,
need
no,
to.
That's true. But I'm saying, like, if you were
build
a
audience.
Startup and you were just gaming.
I mean, you could just turn. Yeah, I mean, I. Yes. In,
sorry.
In the, in the simplest
not a
way.
Sony, not a Samsung, not a T-Mobile.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Got it. Very good clarifying point. You would probably want to partner with a streamer under your brand and go to their channel, right?
Yeah, you don't want to sponsor them. Sponsor streams. You'd essentially want to hire them as a spokesperson or an ambassador for your brand.
The influencer economy.
Essentially, that's it.
Got it. That makes sense. So is there any other points of entry? Like, obviously, I messed that up a little bit or maybe oversimplified it. Are there any points of entry that you want to highlight?
There's a lot of points of entry. You can work with publishers. You know, publishers control the game IP. They make the game. And you can work with publishers on a variety of different ways to enter. It could be through the game and game IP, or it could be through esports if the publisher offers esports. So, for instance, League of Legends, Riot, who publishes the game, you could partner with Riot and League of Legends, the game, or you could partner with the LCS, the League Championship Series, which is the esports league here in North America. There's a global league. There's leagues all around. There's 16 different regions all around the world. So that's an entry point. There's teams. Teams are really interesting entry point. Obviously, I know this one well from being on the team side for a few years. You know, teams have one really big difference, an entry point with teams is that when you do a deal with, like, say, the New Jersey Devils, you just get the Devils, right? You get the you get usage, like collective usage of players, for those of you that know what that means in sports marketing. But you don't get individual players to do things. You know, maybe you get an appearance here or there. Well, with esports teams, not only do you get access to them for them to create content because they know their community better than anyone, to the team social, but you also get all the players. So if you're a team, say like Dignitas, which is where I worked prior, we were in League of Legends LCS. You know, LCS, the third most popular league in this country for 18 to 34 year olds after the NFL and NBA. Like, think about that. You get access to all the players in a league that's the third most popular. All those players are streaming all the time. You get access to, if you have assets like a jersey logo placement in that broadcast, which is watched by millions of people, you know, throughout the year. And then you also get the opportunity to activate with like a Rocket League team or a Counter-Strike team or a new Valorant team or a bunch of content creators. You get access to everyone. So while there are similar entry points for the leagues and the teams take it a step further because they give you access to all these different communities. Every game has its own community. Every content creator has their own community. This is a very community-driven conversation. There's other entry points, creators. Some creators, you know, and streamers, they play for teams. They're part of a team organization. Some are independent. So that's another entry point. There's events when we're back into a physical world, events like BlizzCon or PAX East, PAX West, DreamHack. These are great events that, you know, people think that gamers just like to sit behind their community, you know, sit on their computer and play games with them, but they love getting out. They love being together. They play with these people, you know, hours and hours on end. So they want to meet them in person and hang out and have some good craft beer with them and have a fun experience at an event like BlizzCon. You know, then there's platforms like Twitch. You know, you could do a media deal with Twitch. You could do a partnership deal with Twitch, you know, to sponsor something like Twitch Rivals. That's a nice complement to a deal that you have maybe with like League of Legends and LCS. You know, you get like the Twitch Rivals is like a more of an entertainment, gamingtainment style event, less focused on competitive, you know. But then there's also media buys, pre-rolls in Twitch. Same with Twitter, you know, same with YouTube. So there's a lot of different entry points to navigate, you know, and I think that could sometimes be a little scary for brands, but it shouldn't be because all those different entry points are opportunities to you know, get your message and relay your message and the opportunity and value that you're bringing to the gaming community, you know, through those different platforms and entry points.
Got it. And how many people showed up to the last live LCS championship?
Last live one was where was the last live? I wonder if it was in Detroit. I think it was in Detroit in 2019 because there was not a live one in 2020. So the last one was September 2019. And, you know, I mean, they were at the same arena, Joe Louis or Little Caesars Arena in Detroit. There was 20,000 people there.
And then by the way, guys.
I was in I was in Paris at Accor Hotels Arena or whatever, however you say it. That was for the League of Legends World Finals. At least 20,000 people screaming. You know, I've been to Madison Square Garden, sold out for League of Legends events. You know, Barclays Center was sold out for the first Overwatch League Finals. So, you know, these are, you know, considerable audience for these events.
Plus,
if they're in person.
Plus the concurrent streamers, which is actually how audiences are actually judged, right? You're like a
The big value is the scale, right? The scale of the live streamed event is pretty big, and you know, that's always it's always interesting. Every event is different, and you know, every game is different. League of Legends, of course, being the most popular, but there's games like Fortnite that absolutely dominate when they, you know, if they do like a Fortnite World Cup event, you know, there's
celebrity with pro.
Yeah, there's so many different events out there. I mean, Chipotle, we do a Chipotle Challenger Series this year. You know, last year we had someone from 21 Pilots. We had Juju Schuster-Smith. We had some of the best Fortnite players in the world participating in it. And it's just a really fun event and creating experience and content for people when they're looking for more gaming content more than ever before.
Right. Can definitely vouch for that. So obviously, you've run the NFL. The NFL is a lot. Even when you were there, the NFL was pretty mature in terms of sports marketing and brand opportunity for marketing. Whereas the esports gaming world is immature, but vastly mature.
It's growing. It's growing very rapidly. I think, you know, I was interviewed for an article a few years back with Sports Business Journal when they were like, "Is esports and gaming where they should be now?" And I was like, "Absolutely. Like, sure." Esports technically has been around since 1972. You know, there was a real fun event, but then it was in a big lull. And like esports today has only been around since like probably, you know, 2010s maybe. You know, the Call of Duty events, the StarCraft events, you know, League of Legends, you know, came out right around that, you know, time, probably LCS. And like, it's, you think about how long the NFL has been around for, or Major League Baseball, and think about how many years and how they've refined their strategy of working with brands and their product. We're in the infancy of the esports space. Now, gaming, you know, similar, but gaming's bigger. Like, gaming's, you know, there's opportunities in games to do different things. Like, esport as a competitive product to sell to brands is still very new and young. But that being said, there are leagues like, you know, the Call of Duty League, or, you know, again, LCS, you know, LEC, which is the League of Legends League in Europe. That's really cool. Rocket League Championship Series that have really similar entry points on a league level than traditional sports do, and which, you know, which resonate with brands.
Makes sense. And guys, one of the reasons this was super fascinating to me is when I was still traveling for work, where I'd be traveling for 7 to 10 days, you know, business days a month, up until the pandemic, every time I was in the airport, I would be watching, you know, kids from any age group, right? Like, you know, under 10 to teenagers on their phone. I'd be sitting at like a restaurant eating in the airport, and there'd be somebody next to me at all times watching someone play video games. And there'd be a dad and a mom being like, "What are you watching?" And then they'd say Fortnite or whatever, or someone play Fortnite. And in my head, I'd be like, "Why aren't you playing Fortnite?" But there really is a strong audience, and I think, and you know, I don't think the pandemic changed that. It might have even made it stronger.
It amplified it and expedited it. There's definitely going to be some stickiness to the people that have discovered gaming content and started playing games, whether it be on their PC or console. There is going to be some stickiness to that content, because let's be real, we're probably not getting back into the world, you know, in the next few years, as we have been in the past. Unless I hear you're in Florida, then everything's your game, anything goes. But at least here in New Jersey, we'll be locked down.
Oh boy. Anyway. Is there anything else that you would tell people to keep an eye on, from a small brand, big brand, doesn't matter, enterprise?
Yeah. I mean, if you're interested in League of Legends, when does this come out, Rob?
Probably in the next 2 weeks.
Okay. So I was going to say February 11th, RevXP will be hosting our quarterly forum, RevXP Presents. And the focus of RevXP Presents will be League of Legends and entry points. And I'll have someone from Twitch, someone from G2, one of the most popular teams in the world, focused out of Berlin, and as well as Riot on the panel. And we'll be talking about really cool, you know, that, obviously that's next week. So depending when this comes out, if not, you can get the video on demand, will be available at revolutionworld.com. You know, check out Twitch, check out your favorite games. If you have kids, see what your kids are watching. Because chances are they're probably not watching a lot of TV content, and they're probably watching a lot of gaming content. And it's funny. I think the consumption of TV has gone down 26% over the last 10 years, while the consumption of gaming content has gone up 27%. Strange correlation there, but makes sense, right? It's like eerily similar percentages in increases and decreases. And I think that, you know, you'll be pleasantly surprised by some of the content. Now, listen, there's some of the content's edgy. You know, some of the content you may think is immature, pending your age or your views, whether it be religion or political or whatever. But, you know, this is what people are watching, and this is the future of entertainment. And that's why you're seeing, again, the NFL and these traditional sports gravitate towards Twitch. Twitch hosts the NBA G League, you know, essentially the developmental league, you know, that's live stream there. So it's a massive opportunity. There's a lot of really cool content. The cool thing is you could go on Twitch and, you know, watch people work out. You work out with them. You can watch them cook.
You can watch them make cold calls.
Yeah, you can. Oh, yes. The best one is the guy who scams scammers, Kit Boga. And there's a few of those out there. He's on one of my favorites. And, you know, there's some really cool opportunities to engage if you're a brand and opportunities to grow your, you know, to grow a future consumer and grow a lot of brand loyalty. And there's a lot of really creative ways to do it because, you know, these streamers, these creators, these teams, they know their audiences, they know their communities, and they know how to tell stories, you know, really well and in a way that is impactful for the brand, that gets your goal and objective across, but does it in a way that resonates with a younger demographic. And I think that's super valuable.
Got it. What game are you playing right now? Or what game?
I have been playing a lot of Borderlands 3. I love the Borderlands franchise. I've been trying to get you to play. But I play League of Legends, I play Call of Duty. But over the last month, I played a lot of Borderlands 3, which is certainly not a top 10 most viewed game on Twitch, but it's definitely got its community. And it's a fun game, and you know.
And Kevin Hart is—they just hired Kevin Hart to play.
They just casted him as Roland, which should be really cool. If when I think of Roland, I think of somebody like LeBron James in terms of height and stature. Though Kevin's kind of jacked nowadays. I thought they were going to cast as Claptrap
forever.
He's jacked, but I think like I feel like Claptrap would have been his better cast. But we'll see. I'm excited that they have such a big talent like Kevin Hart on it, in anything. You know, hopefully there's not a good history of having successful crossover movies from games to movies. So hopefully Borderlands will be the exception to that rule.
I think we found my wife and I, Mandy, found Doom with The Rock. Was that what he was in, like, from like 97?
I have no idea. I've never seen it.
Oh my god, it was Doom. It was Doom or something. It was a first person shooter, like old school computer game. And it
Jumanji?
Was no but The Rock, I think The Rock was in this game and he ended up being the bad guy at the end. Sorry
for really spoiler. I'll check it out.
But it was special. It was pretty special. Yeah, that's
Rob, what are you playing nowadays, Rob?
I'm still playing Overwatch and I'm playing Borderlands 3 when I can. Yeah, I've been super frustrated, by the way, just because the missions take so long, and I think I've lost track of where I was.
You have to play with me because I'm running through it right now.
There you go. Anyway, well,
what else?
Chris,
what else do you want to chat about, Robert?
No, that's it, man.
How's mom and dad?
I appreciate it. Let's get on. they're probably in New Jersey shoveling snow. Like you're going to be in about 5 minutes. So I appreciate it.
I've got more calls. Guys, you should definitely tune in, subscribe, like.
Where can people find you if they want to connect with you?
Send a smoke signal of a gaming controller, no matter where you are in the world, and I will see it, and I will run to you with a mask on. No, you can find me at on Twitter. It's ManimalNJ. You could probably link it, Rob, in some sort of description on this. And then LinkedIn, go to Rob's profile, search for Man with two N's.
All right, I appreciate it. I will link your.
Look at, he's kicking me off. See, my brother is kicking me off his own podcast.
Yes, I am, because we will talk forever about nothing. Anyway, much appreciated. Guys, thank you for tuning in. And thank you, Chris.
Let's go, Devils.
Thank you for listening to the Ivy Podcast. Be sure to subscribe to our RSS feed on ivypodcast.com and all major podcasting platforms like Spotify and iTunes. As always, if you enjoyed this podcast, please give us a rating on iTunes.